This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from Honolulu, Hawaii. The lead stories tonight are Robinhood. Yes, the Robinhood app is working to give us common folks access to IPO shares. $1.4 million is the minimum bid currently for a ride to space. The Mars helicopter is ready to go round six, and it's ready to go it alone. And not surprisingly, the FTC has sued Frontier. I want to welcome you to episode 1529 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, May 20th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. Today's an audio-only show. I am on the road. I'm back in Hawaii, so no video today. But that doesn't matter. You can get over to GeekNewsCentral.com. And right on the top right-hand column of the website, you can subscribe to this podcast right now and get access to all the past archives and future episodes. So get over to GeekNewsCentral.com and subscribe. Of course, you can join our chat room, too, at geeknews.chat. That's a Mastodon chat server. Or our Discord channel. We also have a place on Slack to hang out if you want to do that. You can always contact me via email, geeknews@gmail.com, or on Twitter, @geeknews. You can follow me on Facebook as well. All the partner shows that I work with are linked at geeknewscentral.com, GNC Week in Review, The Gadget Professor, The New Media Show. Check them all out at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, this show has the longest running continuous of a sponsor of podcasts, and that's our good friends at GoDaddy. Make sure you get over to our GoDaddy promo code page at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Whether it be a 30% off products that you can pick up at GoDaddy or our extraordinary hosting accounts. $1 a month economy hosting. Yes, $1 a month economy hosting for the first year, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year. And both of those offers include a free domain name. Of course, you can get a domain name standalone as well, $4.99 for new and transferred domains for a new customer. That's a one-time deal, special here from Geek News Central, normally an $8.49 value. And of course, we got the GoDaddy website builder. You can get a free 30-day trial of that. All these promo codes can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Well, folks, I'm coming to you today from the casa in Hawaii. I'm in the bedroom, and it's hot. I turned the ceiling fan off to be able to record. And I'm going to be honest with you. I am heavily caffeined tonight. I think I'm my third or fourth glass of iced tea. You can hear it jingling there. So I'm going to be hitting that throughout the show tonight. It's a jet lag this trip. Cool. I got in. You know, it's kind of interesting. So I left the house about 4:30 in the morning and drove into Chicago, got into my parking area, and I park in an off-site parking garage. Got everything loaded into the shuttle bus, took us right into Terminal 1, and got out and got checked into United. That went really fast. I used Clear to be able to bypass any lines normally, so I went to the Clear kiosk and basically was in front of the TSA agent literally in less than 60 seconds from the time I left the United counter. Right through security, that got me right to the front of the line. There wasn't a big one to begin with, so I really didn't have any major advantage that time, but it's always nice to use Clear, and I always recommend that for people that travel in and out of cities that have the Clear service. It is a little expensive, but I'm telling you, when you're running late, nothing beats that. But, you know, of course, all masked up and, you know, ready to fly, and got down to the gate. And I got a text from the state of Hawaii saying, please check in with the United agent earlier to get your pre-clearance into Hawaii. I thought, that's new. So as I'm walking up to the gate, on the right-hand column, I see this line of United agents sitting at there's four or five agents sitting at a table, and walked up. And she says, do you have your QR code from Hawaii? And I said, I do. And she scanned that. She said, yep, you're cleared. You're good to go. Let me put this wristband on you. Those of you been following the Facebook posts I've been making, you will have seen a picture of that. She says, when you get to Hawaii, straight to luggage claim. Now, this is a big change from last time I was in Hawaii, where I stood in line for like an hour and a half, and really, it was crazy. But what really shocked me was the number of people that ignored everything that had been told to them by United. They didn't have anything ready to go. They hadn't got a COVID test or nothing. So there were some very pissed off people. And I'm like, I don't know how they missed this, because I got no less than like 10 or 15 emails from United saying, hey, you got to do this before you travel. I kind of knew it already. But the flight to Honolulu was uneventful. They did have beer and wine on the flight. They did have snacks. They did not have food. But I thought that was pretty awesome that at least I had snacks this time. I had picked up a sandwich, which, you know, airport sandwiches are horrible. So it tied me over, and I got into Honolulu about 1:30. Pretty long day, which would have been 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. But I lasted until about 9 o'clock, and then, of course, I passed out. But 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, so I basically went immediately to work. I had already set my computer up the night before and took care of a bunch of stuff. And then by noon today, I was essentially done with the JOB, and we loaded up in the car. I needed to go get a blood test and pick up some renewal on some prescriptions. I got those two things done. So Monday, I got an appointment with my primary care provider. I'll be able to go see her and get an appointment. There's some things I want looked at. I got to talk about her when I go see them. I was able to go get some chicken katsu for lunch. And then we went over to the Navy Exchange. I picked up some beer and a bottle of liquor. My son and his girlfriend are flying in. Matter of fact, they're in Maui right now, getting ready to catch a hop over to Honolulu here in a few hours. But yeah, it was a pretty busy day. So I'm actually pretty excited about the food situation here. So I basically vowed to have everything Asian I really can't get in Michigan to begin with. So that's kind of the plan while I'm here. And but anyway, so no studio. My son is occupying the bedroom that used to be the studio. And of course, there was a few things I had to fix up around here. We weren't getting any reporting on the solar array power collection. And I've actually got one array that's got an issue, because I got that rehooked back up and logged into the system to see what the status was, and one panel that's underperforming that might be a warranty issue. So anyway, that's where I'm at, and thank you for tuning in. Again, I've got super concentrated iced tea. I put about a quarter of iced tea, concentrated iced tea, and the rest water, and hopefully it tides me over here, but anyway, all things considering, I'm doing pretty good this evening from a jet lag standpoint. But let's go ahead and get the stack opened up. Kirk did a good job getting the show ready. Of course, it's kind of funny because he's got the show ready about noon. And it's about 5 o'clock here. It feels like it's midnight because that's what my body feels like. But first and foremost, Robinhood is saying that they will give retail investors access to IPO shares. You know, up to this point, unless you're rich, unless you're a institutional trader, getting access to IPO shares is nearly impossible. So this is pretty remarkable statement being made by Robinhood. And Robinhood is saying it will give retail investors access to those shares. They will not be an underwriter for companies hitting the public market, but the stock trading company will get an allocation of shares by partnering with investment banks. So the question is how much, and who's actually Robinhood going to get them? And, you know, IPO shares historically been aside for, you know, the rich and famous, high net worth people. This is big. So this is fantastic that they're starting to roll out IPO access. And this would sway me back to their app, especially you can participate with no account minimums. Now, let me say that again. You can participate in upcoming IPOs with no account minimums. Now, of course, there's going to be limited number of shares that you're going to get. But this move is probably going to be antagonize Wall Street quite a bit. And we know that IPO stocks pop on first day averages 36% in 2020. So individual investor thirst for some of these popular names that you can't get access to is exciting. I will double down on this if we're actually can get in on some IPO. It doesn't matter how many shares you get. As long as you get a few, it's a worthy investment most of the time if you've done your due diligence on picking a stock that you want to purchase. But FIGS is going to be the first IPO. A medical scrubs company, FIGS, which filed its paperwork to go public on Thursday, will be the first company. And they anticipate that up to 1% of the shares of Class A common stock offered will be at will be available for Robinhood investors. So that's fantastic news. It really, really is. And again, this is huge. This is something that's amazing for all of us. So unless you know you're an institutional investor, you know, maybe you are, but I think I've only ever known one person in my lifetime that is heavily vested enough to be able to get IPO stock, and he's a very rich individual because of that. So let's get our little piece. It's about time for the common man to have access to these IPOs. Again, it's at your own risk. You can't lose money in any type of stock you buy. I'm not an investor. I'm not endorsing any stock. I'm just telling you what Robinhood's going to do. Blue Origin set its price at $1.4 million minimum for its trip into space. And really how this is going is they've got a bidding war. They've had 5,200 bidders from 136 countries run the bid up to $1.4 million to be on a seat in their launch in July and to go beyond the Kármán line, the 100-kilometer, 62-mile point above sea level that is recognized boundary between Earth and space. So the final auction will be held on June 12th. And again, should you win, what will you get for your money? Well, not much. You'll be sharing a capsule atop a Blue Origin booster with as many as six people. Presumably that includes some folks who know how to operate the thing. The craft will be taken beyond the Kármán line whereupon the capsule will detach. After 3 minutes of free fall and presumably a lot of selfies and possibly a little vomit, the capsule returned to Earth using parachutes and landing rockets. So if you've got $1.4 million to spare, that is that's an extensive, you know, think about it, that's about $333,000 a minute. To be in space, that's a pretty hefty price tag to pay. So I think most of us will sit on the sidelines and watch this, but you know, free fall experiences are relatively easy to come. The vomit comet, you know, commercial output such as zero gravity will give you more time floating around than offered by Blue Origin for just $6,700. It's short burst, and they push over, and you get a little bit for a little time, but still, you can get a ride on the vomit comet for $6,700. So I think that's pretty cool too, that you're able to do that. So maybe that's the best way to feel weightlessness. NASA, boy, oh boy, I just got to congratulate again the JPL team and everyone else. The NASA Mars helicopter is being prepared for its sixth flight. It's going on a series scouting mission. This time it's going out ahead, and it's going to be in flight for about, 2.5 minutes. It's going to go up to 33 feet. It will then go 492 feet and start snapping color images of the landscape. Stereo imagery of the sand ripple and outcomes of bright rocks will demonstrate the value of aerial perspective for future missions. And then it's going to land in a new location. It's not going home. So again, it's going to spend about 2 minutes and 20 seconds in the air. It's going to go a whopping 9 miles per hour. And Perseverance is not going to be watching it fly. It's got its own dealio going on. But if you didn't see or didn't hear, there's a pretty cool video with sound of the helicopter's fourth flight You really have to listen closely, but you can hear that little rotors going, even though Perseverance is quite a ways away from the helicopter. So congrats on NASA for their continued success. The FTC, on the other hand, is suing Frontier, surprise, 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 for misrepresenting internet speeds and allegedly charged for more expensive high-speed services than it actually provided. So the FTC in six states have sued Frontier, and the FTC accused the internet company of failing to provide consumers the maximum speed promised and charging for more expensive and higher speeds. The complaint alleges that Frontier violated the FTC Act and various state laws by misrepresenting the speeds it would provide consumers, engage in unfair billing practices. Along with the FTC, law enforcement agencies from Arizona, Indiana, Michigan, North Carolina, Wisconsin, and California are parties to the suit. And we know that Frontier Communications serves around 1.3 million consumers in 25 states, and they are really, in my personal opinion, the armpit of internet service providers. So, of course, Frontier recently emerged from bankruptcy with plans to overhaul its network and replace copper lines with fiber, blah, 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 blah. We'll see. I think this is a company that is destined for doom. So a little bit of trial update going on over there at Apple. Apple wants users to trust iOS, but it doesn't trust iOS users. Now, basically what's going on, Apple software engineering head Craig, and I'm going to destroy his last name, Federighi, had a tricky task in the Epic versus Apple trial explaining why the Mac security wasn't good enough for the iPhone. He says Mac computers have an official app store, but they also allow downloading software. Many of us have done that, downloaded third-party software that's not in the app store. But Apple, of course, has never opened up iOS to be able to do this as well. On the stand yesterday, he tried to resolve this problem by portraying iPhones and Macs as dramatically different devices. In the process, threw Mac OS really under the bus. He outlined three main differences between iOS and macOS. He says the first is scale. He said far more people use iPhones and Macs, and the more users a platform gets, the more enticing that audience becomes to malware developers. He argued iOS users are also more casual about downloading software, giving attacker better odds of luring them into downloading an iOS app. Just as iOS users are also just accustomed to getting apps all the time, he's citing the Apple's old catchphrase, there's an app for that. He says there's a difference is data sensitivity. iPhones are very attractive targets. They're very personal devices. They're with you all the time. They have some of your most personal information, of course, your contacts, your photos, but also other things. He said mobile devices put a camera, microphone, GPS tracker in your pocket. All of these things make an access or control of these devices potentially incredible, blah, 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 blah. So he noted that for Mac OS users, that they're not as susceptible to attack. I would say, whoa, really? Because you have more chance of getting a computer infected than a phone if Apple's doing its job with vetting apps and so forth. So he said the Mac from the beginning has been part of a generation of systems where the expectations you can get your software from wherever. You can hand it to your friend on a floppy disk and run it. That's part of the expectation. But Mac users also expect a degree of flexibility that is useful to what they do. Some of them are software developers. Some of the pros running unique tools. Some are just using a browser. He said, I think of it as if the Mac is a car, that you can take it off the road when you want. You can drive wherever you want. You come as a driver. You got to be trained. There's a certain level of responsibility. He said, with iOS, we're able to create something where children, heck, even infants, can operate an iOS device and be safe in doing so. So it's a really different product. Boy, they spin. So what do you think? How do you think this trial is going to turn out? Do you think Epic is going to win? Do you think there's any chance of that happening? I don't know. You know, Apple came with 500 lawyers, I'm sure, but they can afford 500 lawyers. So would you like the Mac or the iPhone to be open? I think I would. So I'd like to have the same flexibility as Mac OS. So time will tell on that. Send me your comments, geeknews@gmail.com. HBO Max introduced an ad-supported tier for just $10, launches in June. So you still have to pay, but you get commercials. So Warner Media is offering a new tier. It'll have the same feature quality as HBO Max, but again, it'll have ads. The service will start this June. You can get it for $10 and stay paying about $5 more and getting an ad-free version. The FCC has reduced out-of-state prison phone rates. This is interesting. It says, but it still has little authority to regulate in-state calls. Now, here's the challenge with this. How do you know on a mobile device what is in-state and out-of-state? Now, my mobile device has a Hawaii area code. When I go to Michigan and someone in a Michigan prison calls me on my mobile phone, do they think they're calling Hawaii? Or does my phone give away my location? Because I could see there could be a workaround, whereas someone that had someone in prison that was calling them locally all the time, all they would have to do is get a number in a different state to basically take advantage of some of these new rules that the feds have put forth. So they approved a measure that prohibits companies like Global Tellink and Paytel Communications from charging families and incarcerated people more than 12 cents a minute in large prisons and 14 cents a minute in large jails for out-of-state calls. Previously, rates were capped at 21 cents a minute, and single conversations could total several dollars. The action also capped international calling services for the first time as well. So, but this is interstate rate will fall by more than a third, but interstate will not change very much. So we'll see what happens with this, or if there's going to be a workaround or not. But these companies are getting their finances clipped a little bit here by the FTC. Cisco reports solid product order growth in quarter three and potential supply chain challenges. So they published a third quarter financial results, slightly above expectations with growth across categories. The company reported 10% year-over-year total product order, but they say they expect product shortages in the third quarter. I'm already hearing about Apple extending iPad Pro orders out into late June because they can't get parts. So any of you that ordered an iPad Pro from the new announcement, I'm hearing, again, those shipping dates are slipping to the right, which can't make very many people happy, to be honest with you. HP has announced they aim to put women in 50% of the company's leadership roles. They also want to increase the percentage of women in technical roles. So this is a good program, good incentive. And they say we will continue to push to break down barriers with our own organization while using our platform to advance gender and racial equality, social justice, and human rights across our ecosystem. Enrique Lores, president and CEO of HP, said in a statement Thursday, HP says women currently hold about 30% of the company's leadership roles. Among other goals, labels human rights goals, which are part of HP's sustainable impact strategy, is reaching 30% women in technical and engineering roles. In addition, HP aims to meet or exceed labor market representation for minority groups. Both also carry the 2030 timeframe goal. So good on HP for making that move. Twitter, have you got the blue check mark? I do. So does my company Blueberry. That's the two that I were able to get approved before they shut down the blue check marks in 2017. But Twitter says they're going to finally verify more accounts. So basically, after pausing public requests for verification in 2017, Twitter reopens the floodgates. You'll have to prove your account is notable, active, and authentic. So that tells you what you have to be, but it doesn't really give you any more guidelines than that. I'm sure they have something internal that they'll make a decision. But those applications will be available to be made here shortly again if you want the blue check mark on Twitter. Virgin Galactic sets sights on space this Saturday. After an aborted test in December, Richard Branson's space tourism dream will take flight again. So they're going to attempt to get into space. Its last attempt with Spaceship Two Unity was aborted due to an issue with EMI, causing an onboard computer to abort the ignition. So we'll see what happens, but this launch will happen on May 22nd, again this coming Saturday, if pending weather and technical checks. So I'm sure we'll see the video on that. Maybe we'll get to talk about how it went on Monday. The president has proposed IRS disclosures of all crypto transactions, $10,000 and up. So the hammer's coming, folks. This is part of an $80 billion effort to update the IRS auditing capabilities. The American Families Plan, now isn't that kind of funny? The American Family Plan is increasing the ability for the IRS to do auditing. They want to bring crypto, the American Families Plan to screw you, wants to bring crypto transfers into the light of day. So the U.S. Treasury on Thursday released a detailed report outlining proposed changes. As laid out by the Biden administration, American's Families Plan, among numerous other changes intended to raise revenue, improve efficiency, and build a more equitable tax system, the legislation now includes new rules for reporting the exchange of cryptocurrencies. Specifically, should the bill become law, you'll need to report those transfers to the IRS when they exceed $10,000. Now, that's not a big deal if you're doing something legitimately. I've done that before, where it's a legitimate thing was done to buying a car, down payment, that kind of a thing. The same reporting threshold for cash deposits. The Treasury says the move will help curb tax evasion and other crimes. They're trying to raise another $700 billion over the next 10 years by auditing people's tax returns. So five separate lawsuits from different women come as Amazon's labor practices receive renewed security. These five women filed separate lawsuits. Coincident? I think not. Alleging a range of employment law violations, including harassment, discrimination, equal pay infractions, and retaliation. The women, all represented by the same legal team, worked in different parts of Amazon operation. The suits were filed in federal court in four states. Again, these allegations follow a discrimination harassment suit filed in March by Charlotte Newman, a current Amazon senior manager, alleges the company hired her for a role below her qualification. She also alleges the company later asked her to take on more work with more responsibility without promoting her. So, and Newman, who is black, also alleges that a manager used racial stereotypes and negative feedback, and a coworker harassed and groped her. So we'll see where these next lawsuits go against Amazon. The bigger you are, the more news like this you're going to make, especially when you have lots and lots of people working and managing people. It's bound to happen. Rumor mill is going that Apple released two completely redesigned MacBook Pros in 2021. I think that's probably pretty realistic because they're trying to move on to, Apple Carbon. So M1s are potentially coming. And there's essentially a rumor YouTube video that's getting a lot of traffic here. And what does a new MacBook Pro really look like? Well, a 14 and 16 inch MacBook Pro, 10 core M1X CPU with 16 or 32 GPU cores, 1080p webcams, 23 to 30 hours of battery life, .4, .51, and .53 and .56. What does that mean? Oh, for the pixel rate, Dolby Atmos and spatial audio, rounded design. So I think that's, so this is a guess. And I think that the use the current pricing of $1,799 and $2,399. I predict the price goes up $100. That's just what they've been doing. If you've noticed on all the new offerings, it's just about $100 more. Tesla, on the other hand, is starting Cybertruck production this year. Customers start receiving text messages affirming a 2021 production start timeline. So if you've dropped some cash, of course, Ford announced their new F-150 Lightning. And from this nugget, the Cybertruck info, to a new Toyota Tundra teaser, we've got a well-timed news this week from F-150 rivals. I know here in Hawaii, it's very rare to see an F-150. You see Tundras. Actually, I was talking about it today in the car. But according to Twitter, Tesla began sending text messages to Cybertruck reservation holders. I thank them for being part of the journey and not so subtly nudging them to drive a Model Y or Model 3 to purchase as well. However, the tech said that Cybertruck production will begin in late 2021. Tesla's been pretty quiet about the Cybertruck for a while now, so it's always interesting to hear out any sort of new information about the pickup. Tesla does not operate a public relations department to field requests for comment. So, of course, this lines up with what Elon Musk promised when the Cybertruck debuted in 2019. And I think their Cybertruck is absolutely the most ugly thing they've ever is it really a truck? Or is it an SUV? Or it really does not look like a truck. But, you know, I guess if it's made by Tesla, it's like Apple people will just love it automatically. I much preferred the F-150 look. Google is opening its first physical retail store this summer in New York City, like an Apple store, but for Google stuff. The new store will be located in Chelsea as part of the Google's campus in that neighborhood. The Google store will display and sell a variety of Google products, Pixel phones, Nest smart home devices, Fitbit trackers, Pixel books, and more. Customers will be able to order products through Google's online stores and pick them up in person at the physical Google store location. So they've experimented with some pop-up stuff in the past, but this is their first full retail location. Slack had some problems today for more than an hour. Slack recommends if you're having trouble to quit the app and restart it. So this happened late Eastern. So that's just a little bit of an update. Microsoft has decided to finally kill off the Internet Explorer entirely. Internet Explorer lives on Edge IE mode, LTS Windows 10, and Windows Server. So if you're one of the 10 people on the planet who absolutely loves Microsoft's Internet Explorer as a browser, you better spend some time with it. It's retiring the browser on June 15, 2022. It's probably the most hated browser out there. I know some of you still use it, but so the retirement does not apply to the entire spectrum of Microsoft operating systems yet. IE11 is appearing from standard Windows 10 editions, but will continue to live on that for now in Windows 10 LTSC and all current versions of Windows Server. So we'll see what happens here, but gosh, we've been talking about the death of this thing forever. The Pixel 6 Pro could have a curved screen and a triple rear camera. A new leak suggests alleged render shows the Pixel 6 going in a bold direction. So the cameras on the back are flat across the back. We'll see. The Pixel Pro, as pictured in the alleged renders, could offer a 6.67-inch curved display and a rear triple camera, including a periscope-style telephoto lens. And they're saying the 6 Pro will use OLED screens, which is kind of cool. And the name shift from XL to Pro could also indicate a new relationship between the standard and big screen modes. So we'll see where this leads, if you're a Pixel user or not. Spotify has made some changes to its search filters. You can now search for music or podcast. You basically filter. I'm oftentimes having that challenge when I use the Spotify app to play around. So this podcast filter to only show podcast results is pretty awesome. So if you're searching for cooking, for instance, you'll be able to browse curated dinner playlists or podcasts featuring chefs or playlists created by users. So very, very cool. And it should be available in the coming weeks to all of you. Also, this is kind of exciting to me, and I got to thinking about this, but Apple's launched an affiliate program for paid podcast subscriptions. So basically, I might be able to make recommendations for you for premium content and actually earn money on that. So this is a unique thing that's coming out. It's part of their Apple Service Performance Partner Program. It's going to be open to anyone, though the company believes it'll make the most sense for publishers and creators already have an audience and a number of marketing channels where they can share these new affiliate links. When users convert by clicking through one of these links, they receive a one-time commission at 50% of the podcast subscription price after the subscriber accumulates the first month of paid service. So that's cool. So a place to make some revenue. Too bad it wasn't reoccurring. Some senators have pulled out a bipartisan data privacy bill. Senator Amy Klobuchar is back with a bill to protect consumers' data privacy when collected by large tech firms. She's teamed up with a bipartisan group of senators, including Senator John Kennedy, Joe Manchin, and Richard Burr, respectively, to introduce the Social Media Privacy Protection Consumer Rights Act. This thing doesn't have a lot of teeth, but it's going to require platforms to write the terms of service agreement in plain language. I thought they were already to do that. It also is going to allow consumers to make choices about how companies use their data, inform them how they can protect personal information. This bill came into light originally in 2019, and it stalled for from the within the Republican majority, but now that Democrats control Congress, it has a new chance to move forward. So we'll see where this one goes. And of course, we've got lots of privacy laws that are kicking across many states. One that's come to my attention recently is one that's going through Tennessee. And each of them have different requirements. So it's going to be a very interesting ecospace to follow here over the next year or two. But also, if you're a Google Map user, Google is detailing some of the cool features that will be coming to Google Maps. And I must say, I use Google Maps quite a bit. And Siri, well, pain in the butt, to be honest with you. But the link will be up in the show notes to check that out. All right, so kind of a quick and dirty show tonight, as obviously. But I got an email from Richard. I don't think I put it in the show notes last time, about the rocket science explained by Elon Musk. So I'll try to get that linked in the show notes. So Richard, thanks for sending that over. But yeah, love to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place to send your comments. But I feel myself getting a little punchy. I hope you've enjoyed this quick, fast, and dirty show tonight. Of course, I want you to consider becoming an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider and the soon-to-be-launched Insider Podcast. Of course, your contribution goes to supporting the show, the writers, everything that we do here, $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month contribution. We've had a number of folks pick up on the $2 one recently. I do appreciate it when you do that. So again, we want to thank everyone for their ongoing support. Of course, the support of GoDaddy is the sponsor as well. We're here in the middle of the month, and if you've been thinking about doing something creative, definitely think about our sponsor and go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Again, you can reach me directly. Send an email. Make sure it says for the show or something that really highlights it's a comment for the podcast to geeknews@gmail.com. And I guess I can say this is first time in a while time. I want to thank all the Ohana, all the family out there for continuing listening to the show. And again, from my bedroom or from the bedroom with a couple of books underneath the laptop from keeping it from overheating and my back to the door getting a little trade wind breeze. Hey, everyone, we'll see you next Monday here from Honolulu. For another edition of the Geekness Central podcast. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.